17. 1 Kings 17. Now, I'm not going to preach very long because it's a quarter to eight, and I won't keep you too long. Here in this section of Scripture, we encounter two of the most remarkable characters in the Bible. I guarantee that if you went to a camp meeting or a revival meeting, you'd hear at least one sermon about each of these guys at the revival meeting or camp meeting. Ahab and Elijah. Two incredible people. They're both very remarkable. And these two men, they both of them, you'll not find two men in the Scriptures who are more devoted to their God. Of course, Elijah is devoted to Jehovah, the Lord God of Israel. Ahab is devoted to Baal. They're very devoted. They're so devoted to their God that even in the midst of adversity, both men assiduously cling to their God. Both of these men are willing to die for the cause they believe in. But only one of them is devoted to a true and righteous cause. And therein lies an important lesson for us. You see, a person's sincerity, a person's goodness or integrity as it relates to their devotion to their beliefs or to their cause or to their God, their sincerity and devotion do not validate or prove that their position is the right position. You're going to meet people in your life who are 100% devoted to the Lord our God, as they ought to be. And you'll meet others who are just as devoted to some pagan form of religion, false religion, or some other anti-biblical position, and they'll be good people, they'll be honest people, and they'll be devoted to that false religion with all that is in them, with all their fervor. But that doesn't mean that their position is right. Is right. I remember the first time that I worked, I met people when I was, you know, I grew up kind of in a bubble. I was raised in church. I was homeschooled. And so I wasn't exposed to a lot of different kinds of religious people. I mean, I don't know. Let's think about it. I was 21. How old were we when we moved to Kansas? 23 years old, somewhere in there. That's how old I was before I ever walked inside a worship service at a church that was not a Baptist church. I mean, that's all I've ever known. Even since then, I've only been in a few different kind of churches. I've been to the Catholic Church a couple times. I've been to they were a holiness group, and that's all I've ever been to that was not Baptist. Only three times in my whole life. And then when I got out there and started working with people, I thought all Catholics had knives and were ready to kill Baptists anytime they saw them. I thought that's just the way it was. And so I was at work and I got to be around people who were Catholics. And these people, they were hardworking. They were basically honest. They were generous and friendly. I made friends with them. And I was amazed. These people are Catholic people. I used to eat lunch every day with a Pentecostal pastor. His name was Mark Webb. And Mark Webb, he knew I was living wrong. And he encouraged me to get right with God. I mean, he demonstrated concern and love for me. And I was kind of blown away at the sincerity these people had. Some friends who were Nazarenes. And they were good people. But just because they themselves were good and sincere in their beliefs doesn't mean that the beliefs that they held were true. Their religion was false. Was false. And so a person's devotion to their religion doesn't mean their religion is true. And this is what you see with Elijah and Ahab. Ahab is very, very devoted to Baal and to Baal worship. But that doesn't mean that his position is true. And the Scriptures tell us about that. It says, let's take our Bible now. We'll look at several verses of Scripture in Proverbs. And then we'll probably be done. Probably doesn't mean will. It means it's possible. It might happen. Proverbs, the 12th chapter, verse number 15, Proverbs 12:15. The word of the Lord says here that the way of a fool is right in whose eyes? His own eyes. His own eyes. Tonight, I said to the church, I think they should call me to be the pastor down there to the church. And you guys are like, I don't know about that. And I'm like, why not? Who's right? Well, the way the fool is right in his own eyes. It could be. See, we think that our view of the thing is the right thing. That's got to be right. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Is wise. Just because they're devoted to their position doesn't mean it's a true position. Because we can convince ourselves that anything is the right thing to do. I'm going to turn once again to Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing here. I'm clean and pure and right in my efforts. But the Lord weigheth the spirits, the motivation behind these things. Proverbs 21:2. Every way of man is right in his own eyes. Every way of man is right in his own eyes. I missed one here. Proverbs 14:12. This is between 12 and 16. 14:12 was another one. It's worded slightly different. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:25 is another one I skipped over. I wrote them down to, we stay in the same chapter. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. These same warnings over and over. 28:26 is the last one we'll look at here in Proverbs. 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. All these texts are telling us that if we become the judge ourselves of what is right and what is wrong, it would be very easy for us to become deceived. There is only one way to know if the way we're living and believing is true, and that is to look at what? Is to look at the Holy Scriptures. It's the standard. It's the measuring stick. In Amos, it talks about the plumb line. It is what reveals what is true and straight and proper. The Scriptures should be our authority. And so just because a person is zealous in what they believe does not mean that they hold the true position. What determines or reveals if a person's cause is just is how it lines up with the Scriptures. The Word of God is the measure of a man's ways. It's the true assessor. It's the true revealer, you see. Now, Ahab, if you read the life of Ahab, which we'll probably read over as we go along, Ahab was zealous, very sincere, a very sincere servant of Baal, and that put him on the opposite side of truth and righteousness. How do we know that Baal worship was the bad side and the worship of Jehovah was the good side? How do we know that? It's got to be the Bible. It's got to be the Bible. And this is why it's important for us as God's people to apply ourselves to the Scriptures, to know the truth, to know what God's Word says. Jesus said that when you know the truth will make you free. In fact, as Paul said, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty from the bonds and the chains and bondage of sin. So how do we know these things? We know it from the Scriptures. Just because people are sincere, it's the Scriptures that tell us these things. It's the Scriptures. And I reckon if there's nothing else that I ever am able to get through to you, I hope that's the thing that you'll get into your heart and mind, is that doing it the Bible way and knowing what the Bible says about it, that's the most important thing. Knowing the Bible. And the only way you can get to know the Bible is to do what? But you got to read it. And not just read it. You might have to do the other word that nobody likes. Study. Look up stuff. Get a concordance out and see how this word is used throughout the Scriptures. You may have to actually go online and download free Bible software so you can analyze and check things out and learn the Scriptures. If you know the truth, you won't be deceived. And we got to be here. We live in a time when they're trying to say that all religions are good in some sense because they're all the same. All the same. Any religion that helps people become better citizens is viewed as being positive or negative. What is it? Positive. If your church community, here's a buzzword I think is, it's right, but it's goofy the way they use it. Your faith community. My faith community. If your faith community encourages acceptance of people, fair play, equal treatment of all people, acceptableness, you know, you might be narrow in what you believe foundationally, but as long as you're inclusive of other people, as long as you're going to make Lawton more peaceful or America more peaceful, we have no problem with you. And the reason people say it is because they view all religions as being the same. Basically, I think the world views religion as as everybody's mama, trying to get everybody straightened out and doing the right things and living the right way. Character training, I think, is what I'm trying to say. It's the way they view it. But religion is more than that. It's more than that. So it's not their sincerity. It's not sincerity that proves their religion. It's the Scriptures. Now, if the greatest person you know does not believe the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, does not believe the Bible is His Word and that Jesus Christ is His Son, do they have true religion? What if they're the most honest person you work with? What if you work with a bunch of Baptist people? Now, I figure in Oklahoma, that's probably possible. You could, in Arkansas too, you could work with all Baptist people. And what if the only Muslim there, only one guy, what if he has better character, is a better worker, and least likely to lie to you than all the Baptist people? Does that mean that his position, that his religion is better, that his religion is true? You got to think about that for a minute, probably. Then you have people thinking about that. Well, his religion seems to have made a difference in his life, so it must be true. Well, how do you combat that argument? Well, it's not what the Bible says. Not what the Bible says. Because you'll experience these things. You'll run up against it. If you haven't yet, you will. What if you meet up with some person who's a queer, who's a homosexual or a lesbian, and they are diligent, hardworking, disciplined, and they say, I'm good. And then they compare themselves to all the other people who claim to be Christians who are not good. Does that mean that they're true, what they believe, that they're right? No. The Scriptures are what is true. The Scriptures are what is true. Buy the truth and sell it not. So there's a lesson here in this, is that sincerity and devotion, zeal or integrity do not validate a person's position. The most zealous people religiously in the world today are guess who? We read about them in the paper. They're on the news all the time. You know who they are? You know who they are. It's those jihadis who are trying to advance their religion, even to the point of self-sacrifice, of voluntary martyrdom. They are zealous and sincere in their beliefs. Does that mean they hold true religion? Does that mean that they know God? Doesn't mean anything. What about the Catholic missionaries? We don't think of Catholics having missionaries, but they do. Large parts of the American West were opened by guess who? Catholic missionaries. Does that mean because they would give up their life, give up their family, give up marriage and abandon themselves to Christ and His church, quote unquote? Does that mean that they had true religion? They were zealous in that endeavor? No. No. What about the Mormons? Those of you who live in Lawton, have you seen the two girls who wear skirts, who ride bicycles all over town? Have you seen them? I see them all over. I was out, me and Mitchell were out, I don't know, it was probably several months ago. We were trying to track down some people. and I saw these two bicycles chained to a street sign. And I thought, what a weird place to chain your bicycle. Usually you chain it in front of a store, not just in a neighborhood to a street sign. And we were driving around, and I saw those two girls on their bicycles wearing skirts, riding around. And they're girl Mormon missionaries. Girl Mormon missionaries. And you know what they have done? Those girls have saved up their own money. They pay in a certain amount of money. They pay it into a fund. And they voluntarily been deployed, quote unquote. They go to training, missionary training school. Then they've been deployed here to Lawton to go around tapping on doors, talking to folks about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which is not a Church of Jesus Christ and contains no saints. But you know, while they're here for 2 years, they're not allowed to talk to their parents on the phone except on Christmas. All they can do is write a letter. No emailing back and forth. No connection with their family or friends. No dating. No phone calling. No drink. They're not allowed to drink soda pop or coffee. We know that's apostate religion right there. We know it's good. They sacrifice all these things. In Lawrence, Kansas, one time, I went into an apartment to talk to some Mormon missionaries and sit down with them and talk to them because I wanted to talk to them about the Lord, and I didn't want them to come to my house, so I went to their house, and I talked with them, and they don't have a TV. All they got in there is they got a satellite little deal they set up so they can stream, because they have these little, every day they have a little devotional from the main headquarters, and they stream it in there, and they all watch it, you know, and get pumped up for the day and go out there to do their... I mean, that's devotion, isn't it? They put everything on hold for 2 years. Does that mean they hold the true position? If you talk to Mormon people, they're good people. I mean, just because you're devoted to your religion doesn't mean you're a Christian. Doesn't mean you hold the true faith. Now, I'm going to say this to you who are here tonight. Just because you're here on a Wednesday night, just because you wag your head when I preach and when I say the Bible says, you say amen. Just because you write out a tithe check and throw it in the offering plate every week, just because when you go home you try to be obedient to your parents, just because you've been a member here for decades, that doesn't mean you're a Christian either. That doesn't mean you're a Christian either. We would say, we might say those are good indications of you being a Christian, but that doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is if God the Holy Spirit has rung the door on your heart and told you that He is your Savior, and you believed on Him, if God has worked in you, causing you to have repentance in your heart for sin and faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's what makes you a Christian. These works mean nothing. See, the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews 6, repentance from dead works. These works are nothing. This behavior is nothing. Christ is our Savior. We turn from dead works to trust in the true and the living God as our Savior. That's the true faith. Now, how do we know that that is true? How do you know that what I just said is true? It's what the Bible says. It's what the Word of the Lord says. Nothing else. So, two very zealous men, Elijah and Ahab, one devoted to God, one devoted to Baal. Very zealous guys. We'll talk more about them as the weeks go on, maybe for 2 or 3 weeks. We might have more time next time. We might have. Well, let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for the opportunity tonight. We did spend a long time talking.